session number 6612, reel 3.
Colonel Paul Walker, reel 3. Now, you said you were expecting heavy casualties because you thought the enemy would fight hard. What sort of medical arrangements did you have for dealing with them?
We had the normal medical arrangements which one had been trained for by setting up a regimental aid post under the medical battalion medical officer, and we had exactly the same medical arrangements that you have in wartime. I think if we'd had any serious casualties, they would have been evacuated from the regimental aid post to the barrack hospital in Talavera Barracks.
And did you have any troops operating in conjunction with you or in support of you?
Yes, we carried out the operation in conjunction with a battalion of the Royal Northumberland Fusiliers, who were a machine gun battalion at that time, armed entirely with Vickers machine guns. And the plan was that the Royal Northumberland Fusiliers would set up their machine guns to cover the medieval walls which surrounded the old city, so that anybody escaping over the walls would be come under fire from the machine guns. In point of fact, luckily, I think, it worked out that the rebels escaped over the wall at night, and in spite of the embryo searchlights that the Royal Northumberland Fusiliers fixed up from lorry headlamps, most of the rebels got away.
With the benefit of hindsight and what you may have learned later, have you any idea how many rebels there were?
There were a large number of rebels. I cannot give you numbers, but all I know is that after I went back to Jerusalem as a civilian tourist, I called on the sisters of the convent of the Ecce Homo, who ran a convent next door to the temple area, and who, to my astonishment, told me that their mother superior, during the retaking of the old city by us, had been looking after the rebel wounded. And these dear nuns told us that there were a large number of rebels, mostly hidden in the temple area. But I've no idea of the actual numbers.
Now, you say the aircraft which was flying over the city was shot at, and the CO's reconnaissance party was shot at. What sort of weapons did they have?
The Arabs were using rifles, and there were some in the minarets that had automatic guns. I think they were some form of Tommy gun, probably supplied from Germany. One of our intelligence officers had seen the Arab method of using their small arms for anti-aircraft fire. What they did was they had one man standing in the middle of a party of Arab troops, and he aimed his rifle at the aircraft, and the other Arab troops standing round him merely moved their rifles in the same direction as their spotter moved his. And they kept firing a continuous rate of fire, which, on the whole, was very effective.
So it was like a primitive pepper pot.
Yeah.
Now, as you describe it, the plan was to split the city into four segments and then presumably hold those segments by cordons and then one by one subdivide them and sort out the people in them. Now, presumably this plan was worked out in order to assist the civil police.
Yes, this plan was rarely devised by the civil police. Remember, we were working in aid of the civil power, and the police devised this method, and the police used to go into each house escorted by a soldier or soldiers and pick out or any men that were there and then take them off. And subsequently, they were paraded in front of an informer who was hidden in a military truck and had a British officer or police officer beside him. And as the column of Arabs went past him, if he saw anybody that was he suspected of being a rebel, he would inform the officer standing beside him, and this man would be taken out and segregated and put on one side for further interrogation.
It's unfair to ask, have you any idea of how many suspects you managed to catch?
I've no idea. It was quite a large number that were sent to the police for interrogation, but we never heard what the result was. So I've honestly no idea.
I understand that when you did actually go into the city, you didn't encounter very much resistance.
No, we were very fortunate. We encountered practically no resistance, nothing like what we'd anticipated. I myself, going down one of the narrow streets, got shot up, but fortunately missed. We had one soldier who was killed. Otherwise, we had no casualties at all.
How did the inhabitants of the old city react to you when you appeared amongst them?
I think, poor dears, they were very frightened. They were not only frightened of the noises of battle, but they were also frightened of British troops because they had been the subject of a lot of hostile propaganda. Otherwise, if they were treated fairly, I think that they were not too uncooperative.
How did the soldiers react to them?
The soldiers, one had to keep a strict eye on one's soldiers to see that there was no bullying, because they looked on them as wogs, and if one wasn't careful, were awfully apt to herd them about in like cattle. And once or twice I remember having to step in and reprove a soldier from pushing an Arab about with his rifle butt or kicking him to make him get a move on. But on the whole, the soldiers were fairly well behaved and humane towards the local inhabitants.
Could you give me some idea of how large an area you had to clear?
I think that the area of the old city, which was well defined by the medieval walls, was somewhere in the nature of 20 acres. It was divided up into quarters inhabited by various religions. There was a Jewish quarter, a Christian quarter, and the Arab quarter. And what we were frightened of and had been warned about was that the rebels were going to massacre the inhabitants of the Jewish quarter and the Christian quarter. And that was really the reason why we went in to clear the old city.
But they didn't actually conduct any massacres.
I'm glad to say that there were no massacres because we got there before they started.
Do you think there would have been if you hadn't gone in?
Undoubtedly there would have been, because the whole time we were in Palestine, there were atrocities being committed against the Jewish settlements by the Arabs, a point which has now been forgotten.
What did you do about getting maps of this city?
The only maps that we had, which were very few and far between, were the maps that were in the tourist guides that were published, and they were not very accurate.
Did you have any soldiers getting lost?
Frequently. I got lost myself until rescued by a British Palestine policeman, and thereby hangs rather an amusing tale. I wanted to go back through a neutral area, through the Jewish quarter, and the policeman guided me back, and we came across a guardsman lying down, shooting down an alleyway. And I was pretty certain that the chap he was shooting at was one of our own men. And so I touched him on the behind, and I said, "Who are you shooting at?" And he said, "I don't know, sir, but it's my turn to shoot now." And he fired his rifle, luckily missing the chap he was shooting at, and it turned out afterwards that, in fact, he was shooting at one of our own men.
So this attack, which involved, I suppose, involved the companies crossing each other's path,
yes,
didn't it?
Mm. And, of course, mind you, the soldiers were pretty trigger-happy.
Were they nervous?
Yes, they were nervous, because it's the first time that many of them had been into action since 1918, and they'd been filled with stories of atrocities committed by the Arabs, and so everybody was very nervous. I well remember, as we approached the old city at 4 o'clock in the morning, one of the chaps in the leading party that I was with suddenly yelling out and rushing to one side. I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Look up there." And there was a British sentry on one of the ramparts. And this chap was so nervous he thought it was one of the enemy. So that shows the state of anxiety in which everybody was. Mind you, I was fairly het up myself.
You say that some of them hadn't been in action since 1918. Did you have many old soldiers who had been in the First World War in the ranks?
We had very few, except a few warrant officers and sergeants. Nobody below the rank of sergeant had seen any action.
So they're all completely green?
They're all completely green.
Now, you say they were worried by rumours of atrocities committed by the Arab rebels. How did they hear these rumours?
Oh, general barrack room gossip and what they'd read in the Egyptian papers. You'll always get exaggerated rumours going through barrack rooms, and the fact that these chaps were going into action was quite something to get anxious about.
But at the same time, they were keen to go into action.
Oh, very much so. Every regular soldier is.
Having moved into the city and split it up into quarters, how long did you actually stay there in the built-up area?
I can't exactly remember, but I think that it was about 2.5 days. I know that we were getting rather worried because the inhabitants had been kept under curfew for a long time, and we thought that they must have been running out of food and water. So we lifted the curfew for 3 hours, about halfway through, and told the inhabitants they could come out and buy food, and then we reimposed the curfew.
How did they react to this lifting of the curfew?
They came out in their thousands and besieged the food shops and refilled their water bottles and containers, and then went back.
There wasn't any trouble during this?
Oh, absolutely none.
Did you Did you catch any curfew breakers when it was actually enforced?
No, not as far as I can remember, because we made it quite clear that if anybody broke curfew, they'd get shot at.
And you were in possession in the old town, and you were presumably trying to keep it static. What sort of positions could you make?
Well, the guardsmen remained in their position which they'd originally occupied, which was in the doorway of a house or the corner of a street, or sometimes they went into the houses and went upstairs and occupied an upper room to give them observation. And we at battalion headquarters took over the secretariat building, which is just outside the Damascus Gate on the north of Jerusalem, and we set up our headquarters there, and we occupied this building for the whole of the time that we were stationed in Jerusalem while we were carrying out operations in other parts of Palestine.
What did the guardsmen do about sleeping and feeding while they were in the old city?
Well, they just went to sleep when they had an opportunity, and at night we kept up a constant fire of very lights so that there was no movement by night, and they were fed by the company containers containing hot food being taken round to the positions where they were.
Now, they're in these positions. Did you actually have pickets and patrols out as well?
I think most of the time we were in static positions. Our job, the main job of the battalion, apart from those who were escorting the police, the searching police, were to hold the street lines which up which we had advanced, to prevent Arabs going from an unsearched quarter into a search quarter, which once it had been searched, then we reckoned there were no need to research.
What was your general impression of the Palestine police?
Not very good, I'm afraid. The Palestine police were not very clever tactically. They were frequently getting ambushed and getting into trouble because they didn't take proper military precautions. And when they got into trouble, then we had to go and rescue them. And it also gave encouragement to the rebels. Now, on the whole, my impression of the Palestine police was not very good.
What did you do after you'd sorted out Jerusalem?
We went down to Lydda and Ramleh, where we were billeted, and our role was the reserve battalion for any emergency that happened in Palestine from Dan to Beersheba. And whenever news came in that there was a rebel gang, a gang of Uzelbarts, as we used to call them, operating, or a village was occupied by rebels, we were sent for to carry out an operation which we called cordon and search. And we used to go down to the village that was suspected, and we'd by night, and we'd throw a cordon round the village and go in at dawn and search the village for any rebels. and any men that we found there we put in front of an informer's truck, and they were picked out. And then on another occasion, we had news. Now, as it were, stop this and write it.
When you did these cordon searches, how many men from the battalion were generally involved in?
Usually the whole battalion. The procedure used to be that when we had an important objective, the village would be overflown by an aircraft of the local RAF, who would be there to spot anybody trying to run out of the village. We would approach it by night, throw our cordon round, and then probably send a company into the village with a detachment of British Palestine police to search the village.
Were you ever resisted in approaching a village?
No, we were never resisted. We were once shot up in approaching a village. And this meant that our company that was going into the village opened fire. And when they got to the village, they found a wounded Arab who'd been hit by their fire. And our medical officer carried out an emergency operation on this wounded Arab and got the bullet out of his thigh. And I remember seeing the medical officer immediately after the operation. He was only a young, inexperienced chap, and he was deathly white and shaking like a leaf because he'd had to carry out this operation in the back of a truck with no facilities whatsoever. And on another occasion,
Did you carry out any other operations?
Well, the whole time that we were in Lidda and Ramleh, we were on cordons and searches, which were originated from intelligence that had been gathered by the British police. And we also carried out flag-showing route marches, usually in motor transport. So we were well occupied. On one occasion, I remember, we were ordered by headquarters in British troops headquarters in Jerusalem to send a patrol down the railway running southwest of Jerusalem because there were some suspected rebel villages down there. And the plan was rather badly coordinated and muddled, and we were supposed to have an aircraft overflying this patrol. And if the patrol got into difficulties, they were to fire a red Very light, and the aircraft were then to wireless back to Army headquarters and inform Army headquarters that there was trouble. Unfortunately, the commander of the patrol, who rose eventually to very great heights in the army, was not properly briefed, and when he got to the village that he had to go and search, he thought, well, now my mission has been accomplished, I can dismiss the aircraft. He dismissed the aircraft by firing the appropriate Very light signal, and the aircraft returned to its aerodrome at Lidda. That evening, the patrol didn't arrive back, and we were rather worried at battalion headquarters in Lidda, and I had a very anxious time telephoning to Army headquarters in Jerusalem, asking if they had any news of this patrol, as we thought that they might have got into trouble. And eventually, after a very long time, they rang up and said, oh, one of the outposts on the outskirts of Jerusalem has reported seeing a very light distress signal in the neighbourhood of the village to the southwest of Jerusalem. So we immediately rang up the 11th Hussars, who were our armoured car regiment, and asked them to go down to see what was happening. And they went down and they found that this patrol was in dire trouble, because after they'd gone out on their return journey, they were ambushed by rebels who had collected from the neighbouring villages and blocked the road with rocks so they couldn't get their trucks back along the road, and opened fire on them. And they suffered several casualties, luckily nobody being killed, but quite a number of people, of soldiers being wounded. And they had no means of communication because they dismissed their aircraft. And they kept firing red Very lights in the hope that somebody might spot that they were in trouble. And eventually the news percolated back to me, and I was able to alert our armoured car regiment to go and look for them. The next day we had news that an armed gang had crossed the Bethlehem Road and proceeded eastwards into what in the Bible was known as the wilderness, towards the Dead Sea. And so we took the whole battalion in pursuit of this gang, and we went through the wilderness, which is very rugged, desert, mountainous country, on foot, searching for these Arabs. We never gained contact with them, but we saw evidence that they had been that way by occasionally picking up blood-stained bandages and blood-stained Arab clothes. So we knew we were not far off, but we had to call the operation off because of darkness, and they escaped. And we never had any further contact with them.
I might ask, what happened when the 11th Hussars arrived at the scene of this ambush then? Did the enemy just clear off straight away?
The enemy cleared off, yes.
So once you made a show of strength, that would be the end.
Yeah.